Amen. We praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a great blessing to understand the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He did that for you and for me. And so I appreciate so much that song this morning and how it points us to Him. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the book of James in chapter 1 this morning. James in chapter 1. And as I began praying about where the Lord would have us to be, He directed me back to this passage of James. And of course, I know some of you understand on Sunday nights when I've had the opportunity to preach, I've been preaching through the book of James and verse by verse through that. And so we're going to read verses 13 down through verse 16 this morning of James in chapter 1, verses 13 down through verse 16. If you're able to stand this morning, I invite you to stand out of respect for the reading of God's word today. As we read James in chapter 1, verses 13 down through verse 16. The Bible says there in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And then the admonition in verse 16, or the encouragement by James to the reader. He says this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." James gives us a clear and an accurate description of sin and the consequences. But then he also gives us this idea, listen, you don't have to give in to sin. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And I've entitled this message this morning very simply, "The Choice is Yours." The choice is yours. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you today and we're thankful for who you are. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to open up your word. And Lord, what a great blessing it has already been to be in your house this morning, Lord. And we're so thankful for this place. Lord, we don't take it for granted, Lord, the work that's been done by the choir and those that have sang specials to prepare. And Lord, the prayer that they've done and preparing to minister to us today. We're so thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for how you've touched our hearts already. And then we're thankful for your perfect word that you have given to us, Lord, that we might open it and learn lessons and apply those things to our lives. So I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, help me as I preach. And I pray for each and every person that has come here. Lord, I pray as they listen that you'd help them. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work that I cannot do, and that is speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray that each of us would make individual application of this message this morning. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I would think as I came here this morning, I think that all of you would agree with me. When we think about the world in which we live and the culture in which we live, that it tends to downplay sin and the destructive consequences of sin. The world in which we live today understand that oftentimes sin is mocked or made a joke of. Many times in television commercials, sin is laughed at in those places. And so the truth is, the culture in which we live, listen, really doesn't give sin its just due as far as the consequences of it. And yet when we open this passage of Scripture, it's an eye-opener to the destructive consequences of sin, is it not? As we see here in this passage, as he says, listen, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's destructive consequences. We have to understand this morning, listen, the devil would downplay sin in our lives and the consequences that it has in our lives, but make no mistake about it, and I believe James would write this passage to help us to understand how devastating sin can be, especially in the Christian life. The devastating consequences of sin. There's an old saying that says this, "Sin will lead you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay." I tell you, the devil is a deceiver this morning. He comes to us and he helps us, or he desires to deceive us as to the true consequences of sin. And yet sin always brings with it devastation and eventually death. And so James is writing this passage here this morning, and we understand the background of this passage. James, the author, he's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel that have been scattered abroad. There in the first century, they would have lived under Roman rule and Roman command, and we understand this, that the Roman government would not have been a friend to Christianity. There would have been persecution that had taken place, and so these people had been scattered out of Israel, out of Jerusalem, into several different areas. And so in many cases, they're dealing with persecution. And as we studied verses 1 through 12, we find this, that these people have been dealing with difficulties brought about by trials. Can I tell you this morning, no one is exempt from trials today. We all understand that. We deal with difficulties. And the Bible reveals, especially in this passage, that sometimes God brings difficulties along life's way to strengthen our faith. And so we understand that, but I want you to see there in verse 13, because we have a transitional passage. No longer is James dealing with the trials that are brought about by either living here in this world or those trials of faith that God brings in our life to strengthen our faith, but he transitions to difficulties brought about by the sins that we have in our lives. I want you to understand this morning, sin will cause you problems as you live the Christian life. Sin has with it consequences. And so there's a very important lesson we must learn this morning. I want you to notice a couple things about this passage. First of all, would you notice the statement of truth found in verse 13? Notice the statement. He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." There's a tremendous statement of truth here in this passage. The other idea is, listen, that God will sometimes allow testing. God will sometimes put us in a place of testing, but understand this, God will never put us in a place of temptation towards sin. The Bible says that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And so yes, there are times in which we are going to go through difficult times, and God uses those times for strengthening of our faith. But understand, the temptation to sin, God's not in that. You see, in times of difficulty, listen, it's important for us to understand that we may be tempted to do wrong. Some of you here this morning, you've come in and you're battling something in your life. It's a trial, and maybe it's a trial of your faith, and maybe God's allowed you to go through something designed to strengthen your faith. But can I tell you, in the midst of that, you may be tempted to do wrong. You may be tempted to stray from God or to do that which is the opposite of what we know to be biblical truth. And I want you to understand this morning, listen, understand if that's the case, that temptation didn't come from God. And God's nowhere near that. And so James wants us to understand, listen, when we're tempted, let no man say I'm tempted of God. Because God cannot be dealing with evil. God cannot be around that. And so we understand, listen, that the temptation to sin doesn't come from God. The original testing of faith, that may have come from God, but the temptation to sin doesn't come from God. In fact, listen, as we study James in chapter 1, it's an important truth for us to understand. Because in your time of difficulty, God desires a work to be done in your life. Go back to verses 3 and 4. He says there, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The idea behind your trial is that you would come out spiritually mature on the other side. That's what God desires to do in your time of difficulty. But understand this, while God is at work in your time of difficulty, the Bible also reveals the devil is at work in your time of difficulty. God is desiring to draw you to him. In the difficulty, the devil is using that time of difficulty to try to draw you away from God. And so we see this, and can I say this? Many have been tempted to blame God in their time of difficulty for the rough time. Many would say this, I guess God doesn't love me. I mean, after all, I'm living the Christian life, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm just dealing with a rough time, and I guess if God loved me, I wouldn't be suffering. Some may even be tempted to have this thought, well, maybe God's forsaken me. Can I ask you this question? Do you think that thought came from God?
in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your difficulty, to doubt the love of God and to doubt that God cares for you or to think that God has forsaken you, do you think that thought comes from God? And the answer is no, that thought doesn't come from God. We must understand that the devil is at work. And so we see here in this passage, James makes the statement of truth. Listen, when you're in difficulty, let no man say when he is tempted, the solicitation to do evil or to sin. Don't think that came from God. Understand the devil is at work. And so in our difficulty, we see that God is at work, but we also see the devil is at work. Can I tell you this morning, getting upset with God for your problems will never help you. Blaming God and drawing away from God in the midst of difficulty or moving away from Him and saying, this relationship with God just isn't working out for me because right now I'm in the midst of difficulty. Can I tell you, that will never benefit you in the midst of your difficulty. The truth is you need to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge the help that He so desires to give you as you live the Christian life and ask Him for His help. And so we see a statement of truth this morning. First of all, listen, when you are in difficulty, you're going to deal with temptation. The tempter comes along, and he desires to draw you away from God, while God desires to draw you to God. And so we see, first of all, the statement of truth. But secondly, I want you to see the source of temptation here in this passage. The source of temptation. Now understand this morning, we know who the tempter is, don't we? We know who the adversary is. I mean, you're gathered here in church this morning. Many of you have grown up in church, and so we understand that there is a very real devil. He's the adversary. The scriptures call him the tempter. However, I want you to see something in this passage because it's unique. Understand the emphasis of this passage isn't necessarily on the tempter or the solicitation to do evil, as much as the emphasis is on the desire that I have inside of me to do that which I know not to do. The emphasis here in this passage is really not on the devil, but it's on the flesh that I have inside of me, the desire that I have to do that which I know I shouldn't be doing. He says in verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Listen, I want you to understand something this morning. We see this passage and we see the emphasis, and so therefore we know there's a tempter, but really the source of the temptation is me. The flesh that I have. The sin nature that I have inside of me. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I don't really like to be told that I'm the problem. When someone comes and says, "Hey Andy, we have a problem here," I want to find out who is the cause of that problem. And then they say, "You're the cause of that problem." There's something about that. That defense mechanism inside of us begins to perk up. We begin to get on the defensive and listen, we begin to say, "Well, really, I can't be. It has to be the devil." And yes, we understand the devil is the tempter. But understand, listen, while there's a solicitation to do evil, that's on the devil. Listen, deep inside of me, there is a desire to do that which I know I shouldn't be doing. So therefore, we must understand that really the source of the temptation is me. In other words, listen, the devil can't make me do anything. The devil can't make you do anything this morning. Sometimes we want to blame the devil, and we do a good job of blaming other people, don't we? And sometimes we want to blame the devil, and we say, "Well, if that devil just didn't come around, boy, I'd have a whole lot easier life." But the truth is, the devil can't make you do anything. The choice is yours. If you sin, it's because you've chosen to sin. If you do right, it's because you've chosen to do right. And so we see here this source of temptation. I want you to understand or notice here in this passage, notice the power of the flesh inside of me. Notice the ability of the flesh to take control of my life. The Bible says every man is tempted, there in verse 14, when he is drawn away of his own lust. The power that the flesh has over me. You realize this morning many times the flesh holds us captive as we try to live this life. I mean, there's a simple illustration of this. How many have ever had gone on a diet and cheated on that diet? How many of you, when the alarm went off, you hit snooze and the body said, "Listen, don't get up. You need to stay in bed a little bit longer. How many have ever, you made a commitment to go work out, you made a commitment to get up and go exercise, and the body says, you don't need to exercise today. It's a simple illustration of the power of the flesh in our lives and the ability for the flesh to control us, isn't it? And yet here in this passage, listen, we find that the flesh has control. And I want you to understand this morning, there are triggers to misbehavior in each of us that are varied and that are according to our own lust. This morning, understand that. Listen, in other words, what you may be tempted by and what I may be tempted by are often varied in different things. You know why that's important? Because it's easy for me to sit back and look at somebody else and say, man, I can't believe they fell into that sin. Because maybe that sin really doesn't affect us the way it affects them. But the devil is real good at distracting us and having us look at other people and saying, well, they have that problem and I'm just glad I don't have that problem. Well, what about the problem that I do have? What about the lust of the flesh that I have inside of me? You see, the Bible says we have that own lust that lives inside of us that triggers to misbehavior. And the devil, listen, understand, the devil knows what your weakness is today. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, just a page over. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says there in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I want you to understand this morning, there is something in your life that the devil looks at and says, that's a weakness of that person. There's a desire that the devil has to come and to attack us where we are weakest. Some people, it's in their mind. Maybe they're constantly doubting what God desires to do in their life. And then maybe some people, there's a weakness when it comes to a certain type of substance. There may be some that there's a weakness when it comes to immorality and those kind of things. But understand this, listen, the devil knows and is wise to our weakness. But I want to say this morning, you had better be just as wise to know where your weakness is today. To know what that sin is that doth so easily beset you, to know that thing which triggers you to sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Can I tell you this morning, the Lord has given us the devil's playbook. He shows us in Scripture, this is how the devil's going to attack you. He's going to find your weakest point. Oftentimes, he's going to come to you when mentally or physically you're weakest. In no doubt, the reason he comes to us in the time of our trial, in the time of our difficulty, and he begins to plant thoughts in our minds. He begins to bring a temptation in that which we are weakest, and he desires to trigger you or to go to those things where you are triggered as far as the weaknesses that you have in your life. So we understand in temptation, listen, Satan exploits that desire to do evil within you. And so we see the source of temptation, and notice there's a principle, though, that we find here in this passage. Can I get you to understand this principle? And this is a great principle. This is it. Temptation does not have to equal sin. Just because you are tempted today does not mean you have to give in to sin. Listen, many people would say, well, the temptation's too strong. The temptation's too great. The devil comes and there's that solicitation to do evil on his part. And I'm just too weak. I can't. I have to respond to it. I have to do what he desires for me to do. Can I tell you, listen, the temptation appeals to the lust of your flesh, but you can be victorious. You don't have to give in to that temptation today. In fact, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see this passage. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he is going through some of the sins of the children of Israel as they wandered there in the land of, in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. He says, listen, they were overthrown in the wilderness. He says, these are examples. Many of them lusted after evil things. Verse 7, they were idolaters. Verse 8, many of them committed fornication. Verse 9, they tempted Christ. Verse 10, they murmured. This was a list of some of the sins that the devil attacked them where they were weakest. And then he says this in verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They're written for our admonition upon the ends of the world are come. He says, listen, they are your example. You are to learn from them. And then he says this in verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You know, it's very easy for me to look out at somebody else and see them struggling in sin and say, well, I'm glad I would never do that. We got to be careful when those thoughts begin to come in our brain. I'm just glad I'm not living like that person is living. Because he says, listen, the same devil that attacked the children of Israel in the wilderness when God was providing for them on a daily basis is the same devil that will attack you. And let every man take heed lest he fall. We've got to be careful, listen, to not realize that, and sometimes, listen, we can think that we're above the devil and we're above his attacks and the power that he has in our life. But look what he says in verse 13. He says this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. He says, listen, while the devil is at work, remember I'm at work as well. And the devil desires to pull you away from God, but I desire to draw you to me. The choice is yours. But there's a principle here. Listen, just because I'm tempted doesn't mean I have to give in to sin. You know, so far too often the devil causes us to think, well, you're tempted. You might as well just give in. You're powerless to control it. No, the Bible says in God's power we can control it. God can use it and God can come into our lives and help us as we fight that temptation. But we must put some safeguards in place. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles has to do with deceit and the tricks that the devil puts in our way. And so God says, listen, there are some safeguards that you can put in place. So that when the devil comes to distract you and comes to tempt you, that I can help you to achieve victory. I tell you some of the safeguards. First of all, the safeguard of salvation. I would say this morning, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll never get victory in those areas of life that you desire to get victory in. You don't have the power inside of you. Listen, you aren't stronger than the devil and his control in your life. But when you enter into a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, the Bible says, listen, that he comes and he gives us grace and he washes away our sins and he gives us the victory that's needed so that we can live this life for him. We must have the safeguard of salvation. We have to have the safeguard of Scripture in our lives. God gives us his word. Remember that verse that you probably committed to memory as a child. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, God gives us his word. I encourage you this morning because there are sins which dost thou easily beset us. It's important to find a scripture that has to do with that and commit that scripture to memory. And remind yourself of that scripture often. And when that temptation comes along, to remind yourself of that scripture and to quote that scripture and to ask for God's help, because we see the safeguard of scripture, but there's also a safeguard of prayer. The Bible says God will make a way of escape. But it takes me asking him, Lord, would you please help me? I'm dealing with this temptation. There's the tempter and he comes along and I desire to do what you desire for me to do. Would you please help me? The safeguard of prayer. Then there's the safeguard of people. Having the right people in your life. Having those people that you can go to in your time of difficulty. People that aren't going to tell you what you want to hear, but people are going to tell you what you need to hear based upon the words of God. People that are going to lift you up and help you and be with you as you go through that temptation. And so we see this morning the statement of truth. We see the source of temptation. But finally, I want you to see the sequence of temptation. Go back to chapter 1 of James, if you would. Because we see the sequence of what happens in temptation. The Bible says, first of all, that we are drawn away from that which we know to be right. He says there in verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. The first thing that takes place in temptation is that we are drawn away from that which is right, that which we know to be truth. Listen, I want you to understand something. Every one of us know the difference between right and wrong. When our kids were just little, we began to tell them, this is right and that's wrong. When they would get in trouble, we'd say, listen, why are you in trouble? Well, because I did that which I know I shouldn't have done. And so this morning, listen, we can act naive, but we know what God desires for us to do. And we know what the devil desires for us to do. He says the first sequence of temptation is when we're drawn away from that which is right. Can I tell you in this passage, there's a marriage that takes place in temptation. The marriage is between the solicitation to do evil, that's the devil, and the desire to do evil in me, that's the flesh. He says, listen, we're drawn away of our own lust, that's the flesh inside of me, the desire, and we're enticed by the tempter. There's a marriage that takes place there. We must understand this. Listen, this is why it's important. Because far too often we put ourselves in a place of temptation. Can I tell you this morning? The devil does a fine enough job of bringing temptation your way without you going out and looking for places of temptation. And yet when we understand the flesh and how it works against us, we understand there are probably places we shouldn't go, probably things that we shouldn't listen to. There's probably a crowd that we probably ought not to hang out with. There's maybe things on the television that as a Christian just really aren't fit for me to be watching. Because can I tell you, as you go along life's way, the devil's going to bring the temptations along. But there are times when we go and put ourselves right in the middle of temptation. I tell you, as a Christian, that's not wise. To seek that out. And so we find this morning that we must know what to avoid. And so the sequence of temptation starts when we are drawn away from that which is right. The second thing that happens, the Bible says, when lust and enticement are joined, there's an action that's produced. And that's sin. Look what he says there in verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, because we've already had that lust and that enticement, me, the flesh that I have, and the temptation, they've been joined together. There's been a marriage. And then the Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Every temptation that the devil brings your way, the goal in him is for you to sin against God in that. Every time there's a temptation that comes along, I tell you, the temptation is nothing that we need to go seek out. And again, when the devil brings us those things our way, listen, the goal is that we would sin in that. I want to remind you this morning, sin cannot be downplayed. Sin destroys. Sin brings death, and that's the final sequence of temptation that we see here. The Bible tells us that sin brings with it death. The Bible says in verse 15, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen, can I say this morning? Sin destroys everything good. Say, Brother Andy, you're making just a little bit too big of a deal out of this. Can I remind you of the Garden of Eden? Remember the sin in the Garden of Eden? One bite of a piece of fruit? Doesn't really seem like that big of a deal, does it? Many times the devil comes to us and says, well, that sin, it could be a whole lot worse. I mean, look at that person and what they're doing. Just one bite. The problem is, with that one bite, they turned their back on what God had told them to do. And they lost everything. How many of you would like to live in the Garden of Eden? All the splendors of the Garden of Eden. Some of you enjoy gardening. In the Garden of Eden, gardening was easy. We find the curse of sin that takes place. The curse of sin on childbirth and the pain, and that man would have to work by the sweat of his brow. And we understand this. Listen, sin destroys everything good in our lives. Today, some in this room, listen, you understand the destructive consequences of sin. Possibly on a relationship that you once had. That because of that person and the sin that they got involved in, or maybe a mistake that you had made, sin severed a relationship that you had. Others here in this room, you understand the destructive consequences of sin in that someone in your life got involved in a sin, and that sin took them from you, either in a relationship or even death. There are Christians in this room this morning, and it's been a long time, quite frankly, since you had the joy of the Lord in your life. And you look back and you can say it's because of a sin somewhere along the way. There's some that lack the peace of God that God so wants to desire to place in their lives, and because of the sin that they've been involved in. And I want you to understand this morning, listen, the good news is this: how you have lived in the past doesn't have to define you. God gives victory to all of us. In fact, I want you to turn over to James in chapter 4, and we'll be finished in just a minute, but I want you to see in this passage, James is addressing these same people in chapter 4. He begins to name some of their sins. He calls them adulterers and adulteresses. He says they've been friends of the world. They've been in the world, and they've sinned against God, and because of their friendship of the world, there's been an enemy that's been created in their lives, and that enemy is God, because God and the world cannot be joined together. But I love verse 6 because he says this. He says, but he giveth more grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. We sang that this morning, didn't we? On the day of salvation, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, did you not find that his grace was greater than your sin? In the moment in which you're living now, there's a temptation that comes along, and sometimes we do fail. Can I remind you today, as a Christian, his grace is far greater than your sin. He says he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You see, the truth is, as Christians, we must come to him and say, God, I'm sorry. Listen, in sin, we're tempted to be lifted up in pride. When we realize that our sin is damaging to us, that our sin is defeating us, in humility, we come to God. And he gives us the help that we so need in the midst of that sin. The Bible says he giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And then he says this, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I love that thought. Listen, that idea of cleansing your hands, that has to do with our outward actions. The things that I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. I'm going to cleanse my hands with God's help. I'm going to stop doing the things that I know that are sinning against God. But he also says this, purify your hearts. That has to do with our inward affection, that inward desire that we have inside of us. I was going to say this as a Christian, may I love him more than the thing that the flesh desires for me to do. When that temptation comes along, may I be reminded of what he did for me on the cross of Calvary, and may I be reminded that I love him more than what the flesh loves to do in this life. It says, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. And then verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Listen, I tell you this morning, all of us have the propensity to sin within us. All of us have the desire to do evil inside of us. And it's almost like God is standing on one side of us. He says, in the Christian life, I desire to draw you to me. Yet on the other side of us, Satan stands. And Satan's one desire in your life is to draw you away from God. And God is drawing you to Him, and He's saying, listen, there are going to be some times of difficulty, and there's some proving of your faith that takes place, some testings of your faith, and in the midst of that testing of faith, I'm drawing you to Me. And the devil desires to get right in the midst of that and draw us away from God. And we go back to chapter 1 and verse 16, where James says this. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says this, the choice is yours. So this morning we stand between an almighty God and the tempter, the devil. And God says, listen, I desire to draw you close to Me. James says, listen, if we'll submit to God, the devil flees from us. The choice is the choice that we make. And this morning I want to encourage you because, listen, the devil desires to pull us away from God. And yet this morning may we not allow sin to define us, but may we look to God and get the help that we have need of in our time of temptation, in our time of difficulty. This morning, if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Appreciate so much the way that you've listened this morning. Can I say to all of you today, the choice is yours. Listen, the devil can't make you do anything. God desires in your time of difficulty to draw you to Him. The devil desires to draw you away from God. And yet this morning, you make the choice. Lord, as we come before You today, we're so thankful for this reminder, Lord, from the book of James. In our time of difficulty, Lord, maybe oftentimes the tempter comes to distract us, to try to deceive us, to try to pull us away from You. And I pray that You'd help us this morning. Lord, help us to put the safeguards in place. Lord, help us to make the right decision, Lord, to look to You, to desire Your help. Lord, we love You and we thank You. And I pray, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, I don't know how You have used this in their life. But I pray, Lord, if there's a decision that needs to be made today, Lord, I pray that people would come and make those decisions. In Your name we pray. Amen.